1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now together, please. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to hear thy word preached. God, thank you for the singing and the activities before the preaching. But Father, that was great, but now is the important time. God, help us to prepare ourselves. Help us to hear what you have for us today through thy word. Use your pastor, the man of God that will come and preach the word of God to help us. Now, Holy Spirit, for that task, I pray you would anoint Pastor Johnson with thy power. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they don't know that 100% for sure, they'd go to heaven. I pray today they'd settle it before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the cell phone warning. Now look, make sure they're turned off or to vibrate. Because if your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, you are personally going to be billed for the budget delay in California. That's millions of dollars now. It's not worth having a cell phone go off. So check that and make sure you get that squared away. Either that or you'll be required to go to Sacramento and teach the governor how to pronounce California. One or the other, it'd be very difficult. Please help us there. We would appreciate that. God forgives us. Do you ever think about the forgiveness of God? The word forgive means to give before. God, because of Jesus and his death on the cross, is willing to forgive you and I. He is the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 2:2 says. Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God's forgiveness is available to us today. And anybody that's a saved person, been around the Bible and Bible preaching very long, knows the verse we read this morning by heart. If you did like I did, you could quote it. Because we have looked at 1 John 1:9 and come to God for our forgiveness on a regular basis. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now please listen very carefully. We understand from the Bible that God's forgiveness is in two parts. First of all, there's the collective forgiveness of God. That takes place at salvation. The moment you receive Christ as your personal Savior, the moment you trust Christ's payment as your hope for salvation and nothing else, God, for Jesus' sake, forgives you of the penalty of all of your sin in one moment. Just like that. Now listen very carefully. This is difficult to start a message with asking you to think right away, but stay with me. When Jesus died 2,000 years ago, how much of your sin was in the future? All of it. You were not born yet, and yet Christ's singular payment on the cross covers the penalty of that sin for any and for all. 1 John 2:2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. One great payment Jesus made on the cross. God took the punishment and the penalty of our sin, Isaiah 53:6, and put it upon Jesus. That's the collective forgiveness of God. Now listen to me. You don't have that automatically. There is no universal salvation where since Jesus died, everybody has salvation. No, that's not how it works. Then each one of us must go to God individually and ask him for salvation and receive this collective forgiveness. So God's forgiveness is on two parts. His collective forgiveness, where he forgives you collectively for the penalty of your sins. And that's done the moment you get saved. That's why Jesus said we must be born again. Friend, you will not stand before a holy and a righteous God with any sin on your record and go anywhere but straight to hell when it's over. That's why you must have salvation. Our churches have got to put the must back in salvation. We've got to put the imperative back in salvation again. Too often we're making the gospel sound like a peace pact instead of an ultimatum. And not because we're trying to affront anybody or because we're trying to scare the fire out of anyone. But friend, if the thought of standing before a holy and a righteous God and being sent to hell doesn't scare you, you're either very brave or very foolish. One or the other, and I choose the foolish category. You have to be saved. You've got to come to Christ. But you must do that individually. Each one of us must come to Christ. That's why there's no salvation in baptism. That's why there's no salvation in works. The salvation's in Christ and Christ alone. And that moment of faith in Christ, God takes the record of your sin and the penalty of that sin, and He removes it. That's amazing. We sin and God forgives us. We sin and God puts the punishment on Jesus, God's Son and the Son of God. We sin and God is willing for Jesus' sake. It's in Romans chapter 8 where the Bible says, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? And here's what it means. Since God was willing to accept the payment Jesus made, there's nothing you can do He would not be willing to forgive you for. Because He does it for Jesus' sake. That's the collective forgiveness of God. Now listen, but 1 John 1:9 is talking about that second part of God's forgiveness, which is the individual forgiveness of God. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse. I need you to keep your Bibles open very carefully. We're going to look at 1 John 1:9 in more detail in a moment, but look at 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. God's admonition is don't sin. That's God's admonition. But God's provision is this. But if any man sin, in other words, God understands that after you are saved, you still have the nature of a sinner. Listen now, that is not an excuse to sin. Well, since we're all sinners, I guess we can just... No. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein, the Bible says. But the fact that we are saved does not mean we cannot sin. It means we probably and most definitely will sin in our lives after our salvation. And every time I say that, I think to myself, someone out there is going to think, well, then I guess I can sin. No, excuse me. That is not what God says. God is saying He doesn't want you to sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with the righteous, advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God makes provision for the fact that after salvation, we still have the nature of sinners. Sin may be, we may be dead unto sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, but sin is not dead to us. Example. How many of you here this morning, you're saved and you know for a fact you have salvation, and this week you did not sin one time? Would you raise your hand, please? Humility prevents me from raising mine, but... Just messed up, didn't I? Yeah, I did too. Yes. Oh, hush. Just messed up, didn't I? But you understand, dear people, then God has made then a provision for that particular sin which we commit after salvation. Listen now, though the penalty is removed, the damage that it does to our fellowship with God needs to be taken care of. Now look at your Bibles again. 1 John chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the Bible says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And you jump to verse 9 and you see the context. So then if we confess our sins, look at me. When you sin as a child of God, it does not affect your relationship with God. Once a child of God, always a child of God. You understand that? So my relationship with God is secure at salvation. Why? Because the penalty has been removed. So relationship does not change once a Christian who is saved and forgiven, once they sin, their relationship with God does not change. But 1 John 1 verse 6 and 7 tells us fellowship is affected, however. A fellowship's closeness between you and God. After I am saved, set free from the power of sin, we sin because we choose to sin. That's the most difficult thing about sin for a Christian. We don't have to sin after we're saved. So when we do, we choose to do it. Say, well, it's our nature and we can't help it. No, 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 no. Yes, we can too help it. So when we sin after we're saved, we choose to do so, and that sin affects our fellowship with God. It's a very simple analogy, and Jesus used it in John 3 about being born again, and he used the analogy of our physical birth. You have a child born to you. That child has your stamp of blood and birth upon that child. Your blood goes through their veins. Parents decide the blood of the child, the type of the blood. And that child is born to you. Had nothing to do with it. Jesus said you had to be born again to go to heaven. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, there's a rite of birth and blood that ties you to your Heavenly Father that will never change. That's the eternal security of the believer. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. A lot of scriptures on them. We have some tracts out here. Just take one and read it. But listen carefully. But because my relationship is secure does not mean my fellowship cannot be affected. You have a child that was born to you. You love them. You care for them. They get a little bit older, about 2. And they get the terrible 2s that last until they're 48. Raising children helped me to understand why some animals eat their young. That kid spits in your face and stomps out the door never to speak to you again. Is that still your son or your daughter? Rite of birth, rite of blood. But are you close to them? No, what they have done, listen to me, what they have done has affected your fellowship with them. That's what 1 John 1:9 is for. 1 John 1:9 is if we confess our sins, we who are saved, know Christ, have a relationship with God, but our sin has affected our fellowship with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let's be very careful this morning and looking at 1 John 1:9, we apply this verse correctly. If we're not careful, we'll get that kind of religious thinking into our Baptist practice whereby we think, okay, we say, oh, God, I'm sorry, and here we go, let's get on with it. Excuse me, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins is more than flippancy. It's more than word service. It's more than just making speeches like politicians. Look at the verse this morning. Here's what 1 John 1:9 teaches us about God's forgiveness of our individual sin that has affected our fellowship. The first word is if. That means this. It's conditional. We have to ask and we have to acknowledge in order for God to be willing to forgive us. You have to ask. Well, I'm already a Christian, so I don't need to ask. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If. That puts the condition on us, not on God, by the way. His statement's clear. He is faithful and just to forgive us. So the if isn't about God. The if is about us. Here's what it means. It means I have the opportunity of the forgiveness of God in my life to remove whatever has affected my fellowship with God. Remove it. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone, gone. But it's up to me to take the step to go to God and say, Lord, I have sinned and I'm sorry. If. It's conditional. You have to ask. Okay, so I told him, Swami, Salami, all your boys in army, and I'm sorry for what I did, and here we go. No, no, no. If you've had your children come up to you sometime maybe in life where they've done something that displeased you, and they wanted to get it right. They came up to you and they said, hey, so I'm sorry, so what's the deal? And you went, it's thank you, son. That was so tender. That was so dear. And you just touched me. Now I'm going to touch you. Seriously. And it's not like you need to work up a dramatic speech. But the if is a conditional statement. It means you need to ask. You need to understand asking is essential. It's necessary to have this forgiveness to remove that which has affected your fellowship with your God. And the if is conditional upon acknowledging something. See, if I go to God to ask Him to forgive me, here's a brilliant statement. It means I know I've done something I shouldn't do. I have to acknowledge I did something wrong. Is there anything wrong left in society anymore? Anything? Is anything sin anymore in the societal mind? In politically correct thinking? Is there anything wrong anymore? If they don't legalize it and justify it, then they call it a disease. You got the disease of the whatever it is. You got a disease now. So all that stuff is just justification for wrong in society, where you can't help it. You're codependent. You were born with the genes of the thing, with the stuff, and that's why you did what you did when you did it. And it's not your fault. That's why your mom, it started with moms looking at you going, you're just like your father. That's where it started. And the sad part is, we are. But the truth is, we got to be willing to ask. But we also must be willing to acknowledge. See, if I go to God and I say, Heavenly Father, I did wrong, it means I acknowledge I did wrong. An acknowledgement is necessary to this forgiveness. Look at me. And a proper acknowledgement. Not a, oh, well, you know, I was with my friends and stuff happened and there you are. Well, I was having a bad day and I wasn't at a good place in my life. Oh, I hate that statement. I'm so tired of hearing that stuff. Not at a good place in your life. You mean you don't know where you are geographically? All that stuff, look at me, all that is a bunch of babble for people to excuse the wrong that they do with their life. The if is all on us now. We ask, we acknowledge. I realize I've done something I should not do. Secondly, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, the word confess means to agree with. It means to agree with. There needs to be an agreement for confession. Confession is not going into a phone booth and telling some guy dressed like a mother, calls himself a father, what you did. That's not confession. Confession is not just making statements. Confession is agreeing. But agreeing with who? Well, you agree with God about it. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Do you understand that God believes that every sin committed by mankind is equal to any nail that went through the hands and the flesh of Jesus Christ? God doesn't qualify or classify them. Are there some sins worse than others? Absolutely. Are there some things that are more difficult or more damaging than other sins? Positively. But look at me. But that's not qualifying it, agreeing with the fact of, well, let's see, this is a sin on the scale of a 1 to 10, and 1's really bad, 10's bad. I think it's a 6. Whatever you do, listen now, whatever you do, you need to agree with God that what you did was wrong. So it doesn't make any difference. Well, I didn't go out and kill anybody. Well, thank you for not doing that. Thank you for not murdering, raping, and maiming the public. Thank you. Thank you that you didn't go out and get drunk. Thank you that you didn't do drugs. Thank you that you didn't steal. Thank you that you didn't work in politics. Thank you for all that kind of stuff. Okay, good. All well, fine, and good, but it doesn't make any difference because you don't agree with what someone else did. They comparing themselves by themselves, among themselves, are not wise and are not forgiven either. He said, well, it didn't seem like that big of a deal, Pastor Johnson. And I got convicted about it, and I went to God and I said, you know, okay, I guess it was wrong. You guess it was wrong. That's not agreeing with God about it. Somebody bothers you, and you, in a moment of weakness, you lose your temper. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Anger is not wrong. It's when we get angry and sin is when it makes it wrong. And you get angry. You lose control. You say or do something you shouldn't do. You ask the person's forgiveness, and then the Holy Spirit says, not finished yet. Let's get this right now. Oh, it wasn't my fault. That's not agreeing with God. Look at me. Whatever God convicts you of, and whatever he brings to an awareness in your life, that between you and God, you need to agree with him about it. So let's not classify or justify or agree and say, well, after all, no. Confession means I agree with God about it. I see it as bad as God sees it. And if he's brought it to mind, convicted you of it, then you need to know. Well, nothing's bothering me, Pastor Johnson. Question, when was the last time you went to God and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then if you haven't done it in a while, get out a pad of paper and a pen with a lot of ink in it and let God start running the list off for you. And he'll bring things to mind. And you may not think that's a big deal, but God did, and he brought it to mind. Agree with him about it and get it right. That's confession. Agreeing also means you agree with the Word of God about it. Sin is a violation of the commandments of God and the principles of God's Word. Now, you may have justified what you're doing, but the Bible, if it condemns it, it's wrong. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, okay, I know that's the Bible says I shouldn't do that, but here's my thinking. Doesn't make any difference how you think. I love how the Bible disrespects our personal space. You know, we got nationalities today. If you do any traveling at all, there are nationalities in this world do not understand personal space issues. They'll stand right up next to you when it's not necessary. And you'll move, and they'll move, and you'll move, and they'll move. So you step back and say, after you, and then they stand in front of you. You step up, and they move back, and you go, hey, now wait a minute, come on. They don't understand personal space issues. We got that attitude about this thing with the Bible. Well, you don't, okay, it's in the Bible, but no, you're not agreeing with the Word of God. And so you can't confess something until you agree with what the Bible says. You have to agree with God, and you have to agree with God's Word. See, that's how you keep it from being flippant word speech. Okay, God, I'm sorry, but you know, that's the way it is, and it's 2010, and God can read a calendar. And God knows what's on television. What's that got to do with how you live and the way you act? Okay, that's agreement. We ask, we acknowledge, we agree. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number next, you have to accept God's forgiveness. Now, there are some Christians today who live under the burden of forgiven sin. They were honest about it. They went to God and said they were sorry and asked His forgiveness. God said He is faithful and just to forgive us, but they still feel under the burden of that sin. They still feel like, well, but I ask Him every day to forgive me. Did you ask Him honestly once? Yes. Then the Bible said He honestly forgave you, and to God, that's gone. See, that's what's that's what's amazing about forgiveness. People remember everything, but God does not. As far as east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103 and verse 12. It's gone in the sight of God. So then you need to accept the forgiveness of God. It's gone. He doesn't remember anymore. You don't keep asking God every day. See, it's kind of like a person who keeps asking the Lord to save them all the time. That's a very dangerous thing. You really need to settle salvation in your life, by the way. The reason you keep asking is because you're either trusting you're asking or you're not trusting Christ yet. And that won't save you. So you don't ask every day to make sure. No. You trust Christ once, you get saved once. You were born into this life once, you're born into God's family one time. You need to rest on the Word of God, friend. And when it comes to my forgiveness in my daily living and my individual life, I will go to God and I say, Lord, I am sorry and I ask You to forgive me. And I agree with Him about it. Guess what? He is faithful, He is just to forgive us. Faithful and just are great statements in the Bible. Faithful means He always will. Just means He always has. Do you understand that God has forgiven some people, children of God, Christians, forgiven them some pretty awful things in life? And there you are with your little stuff, and you bring it to God and say, yeah, but I shouldn't have done that, and I feel so bad about that. Nothing wrong with feeling bad. Don't live under the burden, though. Because if you were honest and He sought God's forgiveness, it's gone. Because He's faithful and just. Look here. He's fair. See that? If He'll forgive him, He'll forgive me. And if He'll forgive me, He'll forgive you. Accept it, friend. Accept the fact that the God of heaven, knowing we did not have to sin and yet chose to do so, was still willing to forgive us and to remove that. And look here, and there's nothing on God's side of forgiveness between you and Him. Nothing. What do you hold? How do you hold it in your life? Well, I asked the Lord to forgive me, but I just can't forgive myself. Then you're wasting time, friend. You're messing yourself. You're dealing with things in life that are just not necessary. Friend, put the burden down. Years ago, when people rode trains to get places where they wanted to go, man sitting in those days when they had these bench seats that faced each other, man was sitting there, a gentleman got on the train with a huge sack over his shoulder, and he could see by the way he was carrying it how heavy it was. The man sat down across from this gentleman and kept the sack over his shoulder. Train takes off, and he's sitting there holding the sack. And the guy said, sir, why don't you put the burden down, let the train carry it? He goes, I've carried it for so long now, I guess I'll just carry it a little longer. Don't live under the burden of forgiven sin. It's gone. Accept it. God said He would, and God will, and He has. And the last thing there that you need to see in 1 John 1:9 is the word abandon. See that? Is that statement? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Look. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two wonderful parts here. Number one, when you are forgiven by God, He wipes the slate clean. There's nothing there. Whew, nothing like that. Nothing like God's cleansing, making things right. All right, I'm right, God's right, all good, everything's fine. Everything's cleansed. That's why if you think this morning, I'd rather keep my sin. No, you don't want that. Sin leaves us with nothing but guilt and recrimination and conviction. You get that cleared out, then there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. And there's nothing as precious as nothing between your soul and your Savior. You pillow your head at night, friend, and you go to sleep. You wake up in the morning and it is right and the world is right and I'm okay and everything's all right with my God. He has cleansed that matter. But the Bible says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means at forgiveness, God is going to work in your heart and your life to get that out of your life. See, here's, if we're not careful, we'll take 1 John 1:9 and we'll apply everything up to the cleansing. But the Bible says this, listen. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso, listen now, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Once God forgives you, He doesn't stop there. Because here's the thing. If God forgives you, it wipes the slate clean, and you're going to go ahead and do it again tomorrow, He will forgive you. If you go to God and confess it, He'll forgive you. Then you say, I'm just going to keep on doing this because this is the way it works. I do wrong, I get forgiveness. 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 You really think He's that dumb? You think God is that foolish? That God is so incapable of the importance of keeping our lives right that He's just going to let you keep on with that. No. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will start working in our hearts and our lives to get that out of there so that you shouldn't have to go to God every day for the same things over and over again for confession and cleansing, because somewhere along the way, this should be getting out of your life. And that's why we need to abhor this thing about sin. We need to have it removed. It needs to be abandoned. What's as disappointing in this world as going to God after you've gotten it right and go to God and say, Father, I did it again. And I'm sorry. How sincere could we possibly be if in our heart of hearts and mind of minds we're really thinking, but I'm just going to do it again anyway? Oh, so you think that's forgiveness? No, He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to get this thing out of your life. So you don't keep failing and falling and coming back and failing and falling and coming back. That's why when you sin, there are consequences to sin. Whatever God forgives you of, there's nothing between you and God, but you must remember, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The harvest comes in, and the seed is in the ground, and forgiveness will not remove that. Consequences still take place. To remind us, when we think about doing that again, man, the harvest was really bad last time. I don't want that again. That's God's cleansing. That's the cleansing from all unrighteousness, the part of forgiveness we don't think we understand, and I think some of us miss this point. He's not punishing you. He's trying to teach you and teach me. You don't want to go back to that again. That's not where you want to wind up. So it's just better to abandon it. Most children will touch a hot stove. Once. And after that, that's pretty much it. A few knuckleheads will keep trying it. Try the other hand. But most of the time, one good burn will pretty much take care of it. And no parent wants their children to burn their fingers to figure it out. You will protect them in every way you possibly can. But there's something about the experience of having learned for yourself that this is no good. That helps you to abandon this thing. Because otherwise, we just treat God like a machine. I do wrong. I ask Him to forgive me. I'm sincere. I want forgiveness. But frankly, I'm going to do it again. There needs to be an abandonment about sin in our lives. A decision to say, but I'm not going there again. And by the grace of God, I won't do that again. And by the grace of God, I want His help to not do this again. And God will help to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in our life. Can I ask you a question today and this morning, my dear friend? Do you know the forgiveness of God? Do you understand it? I don't need to ask you this question. Do you need it? Because I guarantee you, you do. But let's make sure we follow 1 John 1:9 carefully. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.